want to present a question to us. Are we strong? Are we strong? I would think that if we did an examination of ourselves, there would probably be a tendency to look at ourselves in a way with an honest heart, and we would say that there are things that we're maybe strong in or would consider ourselves pretty capable of, and other things that maybe we would consider ourselves to be weak in and very much in need. I think of the song that was sang where it says, "I need thee, Lord." And I don't think there's any question that we need God. If we think that we're going to live and walk in service to the Lord and be as He is in any capacity, we need God. There's no doubt about that. But I was thinking about it just the other night. We were at young people's meeting, and the young guys were in there, and they were arm wrestling. All right? And it's like a test of strength, basically. I ask you, are you strong? Yes, I'm strong. Well, it's easy to say that without being tested. Right? And so, and I'm not saying that this is what they were doing, but I imagine them saying that they're strong. Well, let's see how strong you are. Right? Let's put your arm down there. Let's see how strong you are. And so it's a sense, a test of strength. Maybe they lose. And I remember hearing some of them say, you know, "You beat me last time. I know I can get you. I'm here and I'm ready to try it again." The test of strength. The wanting to know, are you strong? And so we present that question, are you strong? Well, we can say we're strong or we can say we're weak. One of them asked me, "Do you arm wrestle?" And I said, "No." And I mean, the reality is I'm afraid that I'm not strong enough. And they're going to whoop me. But how do I know that? How do I know whether I'm strong or weak? It has to be tested. It has to be proven. And so there's really no difference in us. Whether we're weak or whether we're strong, we're going to know the answer to that question through the testing. And so I think that in our spiritual lives or in our walk with the Lord, that our strengths and weaknesses are tested and proven. And without it, how do we know where we really stand in our commitment, in our resolve to serve the Lord? I'm reminded of a scripture of the sower and the seed, and it talked about the seed being sown on the stony ground. And it says that when tribulation or offense comes because of the word, it falls away. And essentially what that would mean is that it was tested. The word upon the heart was tested. How resolved are you? How committed are you? How determined are you? What kind of root do you have? What kind of stability within yourself do you have? I think of Sister Maxine calling me yesterday and says, "Can you come?" And to be honest with you, I was like, I don't know how I can. But where's your commitment? Where's your dedication? How deep are you? How much faith do you have in God and His ability to do something? Where do you stand? It's almost like it's the question of strength, the test of strength. Where do you stand? Where does your strength lie? You know, I often thought about I thank God for the salvation of our souls and what Jesus came to do and what He accomplished and what He did. He came to save our souls and He achieved it. When He died on the cross, He said it was finished, and it was. He did what He came to do. He delivered our souls, and a lot of times I look at it and I think, why, Lord, did He have to suffer so much? Why did He have to go through all that just to be a Savior of our soul? And I was thinking about it just actually this morning about how if He hadn't, He was proven. He was tested. You know, you can maybe put Him up against Job, and if He hadn't done all that, we might look at it and say, well, yeah, you know, He had it easy. You know, what about me? This is difficult. But He didn't have it easy. He had it very difficult, very hard, and He proves Himself as our example of one that can serve God faithfully. As our example, we can take what He did and know that we can too by the help of His strength. But He was tried and tested and proven and found successful. And so I thank God for that too. That He endured and that He made it without fault and blameless. I don't believe that He gave Himself any advantage because He was proving Himself as a test for us to know where we stand and what our abilities are and what we can do. Is exercise valuable? You know, I think of some scriptures where it talks about bodily, let's see, I think it's in maybe Timothy. It says, bodily exercise profiteth little. First Timothy 4. But refuse, this is verse 7, but refuse profane and old wise fables and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. You know, I think of bodily exercise and I was talking about the young men and, you know, many of them, when they talked about coming back and saying, you know, you beat me the last time. Well, the last month or 2 months or whatever, they were at home. And they were, you know, I don't know, lifting weights or doing push-ups or whatever they do to try to build their strength to increase their ability to be successful the next time around. So that when they met their foe the next time around, they had more strength on hand to overcome. And so bodily exercise profits little when it comes to carnal things, because obviously we're not wanting to walk in the flesh, right? We're not, our goals and our ambitions and our desires for strength don't just lie in the carnal flesh of things, but we want to be strong spiritually because we have a foe that is dangerous. Our enemy is dangerous. And he has tactics and he has attacks and that are very capable of defeating us if we're not strong. If we're not submitted and surrendered to Christ. And the ability that He gives us to overcome our enemy. But I was thinking with regards to exercise and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. How do we exercise ourselves unto godliness? How do we prove ourselves in the essence of godliness? You know, I can slap my arm on the table and we can arm wrestle and I can at least prove my ability or inability to put your arm down on a table. But how do we exercise ourselves in godliness? What would be something that we would need to exercise in godliness? So we might say, I need to exercise patience, right? That would be a form of godliness, to exhibit patience. Is that exhibiting patience in the midst of the calm? Exhibiting patience when we're at home and we're just relaxed and enjoying the things the Lord has blessed us with and we're patient in it. Is that the exercising of patience? Or is exercising of patience rather in the situations that you would normally be impatient in? Right? To really exercise or test your ability to be patient, it would have to come through the circumstances of events that would normally make you impatient. And you would say, well, thank the Lord. The Lord helped me to be patient today, where normally I would have been impatient. Or normally I would have allowed it to stir me up and cause agitation in my life to bring me in a state of discomfort, or however you want to say it. That was an exercise unto godliness. There are times when we may have to exercise ourselves to love our neighbor. You know, you can sit here all day and talk about how much you love everybody and I just thank the Lord that He gave me this overabundance of love for everyone. When everybody's treating you nice and everybody's being kind to you and they're letting you go first in line and, you know, all these things. But let it be exercised. Let somebody get in your face when you didn't really do anything to warrant it. Let somebody cut in front of you in line. Me first. Get out of my way. And exercise that love for your neighbor in those types of situations. And I say that to say that these are tests or provings that prove our godly fruit. And I ask myself, can I really know my strengths, or can I really know where I measure up if I'm never tested? If I'm never proven, if I'm never tried, if difficulties never come my way, if everything always goes exactly the way it ought to go and everything is just perfect, does that exercise me? You know, I think of somebody that wants to exercise and build strength and they're trying to be strong. And do they go out there and find the smallest weight they could possibly get and just start working that 2-pound weight and expect to really build strength? No. Oftentimes, somebody that's going to build their strength or try to increase their ability in some form or fashion, they actually have to get the weight that exceeds their limitations to grow, to be mature, or to increase in strength. They'll go and they'll get a weight that's a little bit more than what they can bear and work that thing until they're able to successfully repeat one after another, repetitions. And so when I was thinking of that and how that is true, when I was younger, I used to lift weights a little bit and what we would do is we would want to increase the amount or our ability to lift more. And what we would do is we would get under heavier weight than we were able to bear. So in other words, I couldn't get this weight off the bar myself. And in the beginning, I couldn't bring it down and bring it up by myself. I couldn't do it. My ability was incapable of it at the time. And so what we would do is we would have somebody stand behind me. And his job was to help me get it off. And his job was to help me get it down and to help me get it up. You might say, well, what's the value in that? He's helping you. But you know what? He's not helping me in the sense that he's lifting all the weight. It's amazing, but when somebody's spotting you, a lot of times they just barely get it off the bar and they'll let you bring it down and they're almost letting you do it all. But you think you have the security of a spotter. He's there helping you. And so you have a little more confidence, a little more, oh yeah, okay, let's go. Not really understanding or realizing that he's not helping you as much as you think. And then when you go to start bringing it up and you know this is more weight than you can bear. You know it. That's the whole idea. But as you start bringing it up, he might just use one finger under the bar. And just that enough is able to for you to successfully get that weight up. And I was thinking about that whole idea of how that spotter enables you and gives you strength to achieve more than what you could do all by yourself. And I think of God's Holy Spirit in us, that we face things all day long that are more than what we can maybe bear, that are situations that we would fail on our own. But with the Holy Spirit there to uplift us and give us strength, and for us to have confidence in Him, to know that He's right there. He's got me. He's my spotter. And He's going to help me through this. I know that this tribulation or this persecution or this trial or whatever it is that I'm facing, this test is more than I can handle. This test is more than I can bear. I can't smile in the face of my enemy. He's spitting on me. He's accusing me falsely. He's lying about me. I can't love this man. But God's grace is that spotter that says, yes, you can. Go for it. You can do it. You can make it. Part of our experience was, go. You got it. Get that weight up. You can do it. The encouragement of knowing that you can exceed your limitations. You don't have to just throw up your hands and say it's too much, it's too hard, I can't do it. You have a spotter. And he's there to help you. And he's here to give you strength. He's here to encourage you and get you past whatever that trial is or whatever that persecution is and help you get a little further on in your walk and in your maturity. But you know one thing that I really believe, that spotter does not pick up all the weight. And I really think that it's valuable for us to know that in our spiritual lives as well. That our spotter is not just taking all the weight. You know, I've heard it said many a times, you know, Lord, make preaching easy for the brother. And I thank the Lord for that statement. But I will tell you that He never does. Okay? He doesn't make it easy. It's not supposed to be easy. He wants me to feel the weight of it. I really believe that the Lord wants us to feel the weight of the things that we go through and the circumstances that we face and the hardships and the trials that come against us. He wants us to feel the weight of it. He may let us feel a little bit more of the weight of it as we go on and as we mature and increase in our faith and increase in our ability. He may let you feel a little more of that weight the next time around. Building your strength. If He didn't do that, you would be weak as you were in the beginning as you are now. You wouldn't be any stronger if He didn't ever make you hold some of the weight. And so I think of this scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 where he says, my grace is sufficient for thee. I think of Paul saying, Lord, take this from me. Lord, please help me. I can't deal with it. And he says, you know what? My strength is sufficient for thee. And I think about it, that the Lord isn't just throwing on him the abundance of grace. You know, he's not throwing on him more than is necessary. But I believe the Lord gives us the grace that is sufficient. Maybe it's just the one finger that's giving you the ability to get that thing up. Now I'm telling you, when somebody's spotting you with one finger, you think they're not helping you at all. you're shaking and trying to get that thing up there. But they're giving you sufficient help. To just grab it off you is not sufficient help. That's not helping you. That's getting it off you. And yeah, the Lord can do that for us. The Lord's not going to let you fail. He's going to give you sufficient grace. If you fail, it's because you quit. But He's not going to let you fail. So what I say that to say is that when I have a spotter and he's helping me, he's going to make me successful. As long as I don't quit. If I quit, boom, the weight goes down on me. Get off me. But as long as I'm pushing, as long as I'm throwing effort out, as long as I'm giving it my all, his job is to make me successful. His job isn't to let me have the weight fall down. I mean, I don't need you if that's what you're going to do. I need you to help me get it up. That's why you're there. And so, as long as I don't quit, as long as I don't give up, as long as I trust my spotter to see me through, he will see me through. He will give me victory. And I'll be able to get that thing up. And you know, it's amazing. It builds your strength. And you do that with a spotter 2, 3, 4 times, whatever it might take. And he's giving you less help and less help each time. And the next thing you know, he may not even tell you, but he didn't help you at all. And when you're done, he's like, bro, I didn't help you at all. You did that all yourself. And you're thinking, well, I can't believe it. I finally got it, you know? But the Lord is there to assist us. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 5. You know, I know that for us it's so much easier if the Lord would just take it off of us. You know, Lord, just take it off of me, please. Lord, please just deliver me from all my discomforts. Lord, please just free me of all the difficulties of life. Please don't make me face any hardships or trials. And believe me when I say I understand that completely. I understand that desire. I understand that hope and that wish that everything would go as it should and that we wouldn't have to deal with anything in life. But I also have to understand that that would not help us become stronger. That would not increase our ability. That would not really increase our godliness. Because I believe that when you look at somebody that you can say they are exercised in godliness, it's all over them. You know that they're a bodybuilder in godliness, you know? You can see it. And you think a lot of times maybe young people might look at those bodybuilders of godliness and think that they woke up someday and got saved and they became just that. The day they got saved, they were just this massive epitome of godliness. But I'm here to tell you that that's not how it happened. They were exercised. They were exercised over and over. And the Lord enabled them and strengthened them to gain victory after victory. And they increased in godliness. They increased in their ability to be patient and kind and tender-hearted and merciful, compassionate, being able to see a need and to be willing and immediate to meet that need. The list can go on with the ability that God has given people to love and to exhibit His good character and His good characteristics. But they didn't just wake up off the altar bench and immediately became a powerhouse in godliness. They were exercised thereby. And the Lord wants to exercise us. And He's helping us. He's building us up. He's increasing us by His Spirit and enabling us to serve Him in a capacity that exhibits His true character. Hebrews 5. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. I think of this by reason of use. That's how it's achieved. We've got to use it. We've got to exercise it. We were talking, I guess it was yesterday morning, we had a little Bible study with some guys there in Guthrie. And one of the things we were talking about was one of the guys was saying the Lord just gave him one plate. He didn't just throw the whole smorgasbord on him at once, but He gave him a plate to consume, you know, to essentially achieve or to be successful in. And I believe that when we exercise ourselves and we take what God has given us and what He's shown us and we exercise it and we put it to use, we put it to practice, we allow the Lord to bring us to victory in that thing, that then He goes and gets another plate for us. Another area for increased strength that we need. Another area where we need His grace to help us to achieve victory in a higher level of strength or a higher level of achievement. It's not to say that we don't have patience. It's to say that we haven't been tested in every realm of patience yet. You know, I think of a person that has maybe, I'll go back to the arm wrestling. The guy has beat everybody in the room already. And you ask him, are you strong? He may say, yeah, I'm strong. Apparently I'm stronger than everybody. But then you go and bring one more guy in. Right? So your strength is limited to what you've been tested in. Right? And so I believe that there's always another test. There's always another circumstance that could maybe exceed your current limitations. It's not to say that you're not kind or generous or loving or patient. But it's to say that you haven't been tested in all points yet. And I thank the Lord that it says that He had been tested in all points and found faithful. But we got to put these things to use. We can't expect to be exercised in godliness if we don't exercise in godliness when those situations come our way. And when those circumstances, we meet them, we have to exercise and we have to be faithful and we got to be diligent to follow through. We can't just raise up our hands and quit and give up. But we have to meet the test. We got to meet the opposition. We got to press through. We got to seek for the spotter to enable us and give us strength to achieve victory. Let's go to Hebrews 12. Starting in verse 7. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chastens not? And this chastening is like an instructing. It's perhaps a disciplinary, but it's a training up and a maturing in all areas of your life. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Just to point out, it's for our profit, it's for our benefit, it's to increase us. It's not that God's trying to hurt us in any way, but he's strengthening us and he's building us up. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. So whatever it is that's testing you or proving you in your life, it says it clearly right here that it's not necessarily going to be a joyous thing. It's not something that we would raise our hand for and say, Lord, please let me go through persecution. Lord, please bring tribulation my way. It's just not something that we think to ask God for. But when it comes, and it will come, because it exercises us, it strengthens us, it gives us abilities, but it's not going to be necessarily joyous throughout the process of exercise. But it's actually, it says, grievous. Nevertheless, after it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them. Let me read that again. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. And so now what it's saying is, after it's done, after you've successfully lifted that weight or overcome that obstacle, the fruit that it yields is going to be a joyous thing for you. It's going to increase your faith in God. It's going to increase your life. It's going to bless you in your ability to love and to it's going to bless you abundantly. Yes. If you can exercise yourself and come through victoriously, come through successfully. I don't know if you've ever had something that you just couldn't overcome, you just couldn't beat, but then all of a sudden you got victory. Yes. It's a joyous occasion. It's something to rejoice about, to thank God for. And so that's what it's saying that we're going to experience if we would just continue to press forward. Although it's not joyous in the time, although it can be grievous and very difficult to bear and to deal with, when you get through it and the clouds clear and the sun shines upon you, it's going to be a joyous day. One to rejoice in and to thank God for. And you may look back at those times and those circumstances and sincerely in your heart be able to say, thank you, Lord, for that. Because I know that that is why I am who I am today. It's because of your mercy and your grace that got me through those difficult times. And here we are in a state of bliss in the relationship that we have with God. And the closeness that we gained with him in that time. The Lord wants to stretch our abilities. The Lord wants to stretch our capability and help us to be strong. Because that next thing that comes may be much bigger than this one. And you're going to need what you're going to gain from this circumstance now. You're going to need it to be on hand for the next one that's to come. The Lord is building us up. And he's preparing us. He's making us ready for what is to come next. But may the Lord help us to never quit, to never give up, to always press, to fight. As long as we don't quit, we have victory in Christ. As long as we don't give up, He's going to see us through. He will not let us fail. If we fail, it's because we quit. And so may the Lord help us to never quit and to always trust and to keep pressing so that His grace can be sufficient to see us through our need. I appreciate your guys' time today. I pray that you would continue to pray for me and help me to allow the Lord to exercise me, to allow the Lord to stretch me beyond my capabilities, to increase me in my faith and my willingness to let Him use me in any capacity He chooses, and to grow and mature as a man of God. I thank you guys again.